Shall we read in the book of Acts, please? The book of Acts, chapter 16. We'll read, please, at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, or they were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God, or the thought here is believing God, believing in God with all his house. May the Lord now bless his word. I would like to look at the conversion of this man who is known to many in this audience as the Philippian jailer. I would like to think about him and what he experienced for as much as what we've been listening to tonight. It is very much the same, for here is a man who had a day when he was converted. He had a day when he was turned from his own way, from his sins, from anything else that he held, and was turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him as his Savior. Now, those of you who were here a week ago tonight, you will have understood immediately the vast difference between Mr. McCullough's conversion and mine. But I want to say tonight that if you were here, it just only goes to show that there is only one way to be saved. Only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now I want to look with you tonight at the Song of the Servants. The Song of the Servants. I want to look at with you tonight as well of the jailer himself, as he sleeps when the earthquake comes. We have the sleep of a sinner. And then again, we have the supplication of a seeker, for the man is awakened. He cries out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It was real to him, personally. It meant something to him while others around him were not touched at all. They were not moved. They were not stirred. But in his soul, he cries out, what must I do to be saved? And then the salvation of his soul. Now may the Lord give us help. We're glad to see you all tonight. And as we think tonight of what we have before us, friend, I want to ask you to look at it honestly. As we look at this passage tonight, to think of it carefully and to look at it for yourself. Do you have what happened to this man? I can tell you, friends, every person that's going to be in God's heaven has had an experience in some measure that was similar. There was an awakening before a person is saved by trusting Christ, and there is the moment when you trust Christ and you're saved. And that's for eternity. Friend, have you got it? That's the most important thing in the world. I lived in this world for myself 17 years, and no one ever asked me in my life if I was saved. never heard about it. And Mr. McCullough, from the time he could earliest remember, undoubtedly heard it from the days as he could early remember, that he had to be saved to go to heaven. Friend, are you? That's the most important thing in the world. You'll never have a person ask you a more important question. And tonight we ask you with love in our hearts for you. Friend, are you saved? That's the most important thing. Listen, here are men. There are men, if we read earlier in the chapter, it is said of them, these be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Paul and Silas, the servants of God, they've come into the region. Why, friend, if we took the time tonight, we could go back to Acts chapter 9 and show you from the Bible how the Apostle Paul himself was saved. He was a man who had much religion. He had much earnestness and vigor. And he was a man that the people who were around him couldn't have pointed a finger at him. He was a man who obeyed what he knew and was very careful to do all that he thought was right. And yet, my friends, he needed to be saved too. And he says him, as he gives us the list in Philippians chapter 3, he says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Concerning or as touching the law, he was blameless. And here was a man who was destined to be the top. And here was a man who was destined to be the top man, if you will, in the Jewish religion, in the nation of Israel. And yet, when he gets to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and lifts his pen, as we know it, to write what we know as verse 15, he says, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How would you ever understand a man who had the qualifications that this man had, that he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I tell you, my friends, the religious, the irreligious, the moral, the upright, the unclean, the lowly, and the abased of life, they all are sinners needing to be saved. And here's these men now, they've gone to preach the gospel. And God's doing a work in Philippi. And the message has come to the people. And there are people that have gotten saved. And it's changed the course of things in the place. And these men who had a slave girl, if you will, in a sense, that they were making money from, they took this girl, and they didn't like what happened when she got saved because her life changed. And they couldn't use her to make money off what she was doing, you see. And as it was going on, they took Paul and Silas, they complained about them. And these two men were brought into, under the hand of government of that day in the Roman Empire, in that jurisdiction. They were brought under this thing that we have read about. They were beaten. For preaching Christ to the people, they were beaten. They stripped their clothes from them, and then they beat them. And then they charged the keeper of the prison. This man, take these men and put them in there and hold them fast and don't let them get away. And friend, tonight I want to ask you this question. If you were in a situation like that, what would you do? What would you do? Let me ask you something. When your world's crumbling around you and there's nothing goes right in your life, and we all have it happen, when everything is going wrong, could you stop and sing praises and thank God for what's happening in your life? Do you see what's happened with these men? What is the secret, my friend? What is the secret of these men being fastened into the stocks, their hands, their feet, and their heads? And they're down there in the middle of the prison, down in the very midst where they couldn't get away. At least that's what they thought. And these men are singing praises unto God. Friend, what's your song? What's your joy tonight? What brings peace to your heart and soothes you in the troubled waters of life? Look at these two men. When it all went heavy against them, and in the service of God, my friends, you'd have thought they'd have been saying to the Lord, Lord, what are we doing in here? We're serving Thee, and why hast Thou brought us into this prison? Friend, tonight, what's your song? I think of the first recorded song that I can think of just now in Exodus chapter 15 in the Bible. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. And what did they sing? They sang the redemption song of the God who delivered them out of Egypt by the blood of a lamb that was slain. And God brought them out, my friends, on the grounds of the blood of the lamb. And my friend, tonight, there's the song. The song of redemption was raised in Exodus chapter 15. How much more when these men are fastened their feet and their hands and their heads in the stocks, as they're locked away, and the devil thinks that he has them where he wants them, out of service for God. Friend, tonight, they sang redemption's song. They gave praise unto God. And the prisoners were listening to them. What about you? Friend, tonight, what's your joy? If tonight everything went wrong in your life, and tonight if somehow when you left this place, if authorities came and took you away and locked you in the inner cell of a jail, my friend tonight, what would put a song in your heart? I can tell you the only thing that makes human beings like this is God's salvation. It's the only thing. Knowing Christ. I think of this tonight. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what the end would be. They didn't know what would happen. Friend, tonight, no matter what happens, when a person saved knows Jesus Christ is their Savior, they've got peace in their soul. They can put praise to God in front, lifting their hearts to God from the prison. I tell you, the song of the servants is sweet to me. For if I turn you to the 137th Psalm tonight, God who brought the nation of Israel out in Exodus is the same God who saw them carried away into the land of Babylon. And they came to the land of Babylon, and by the rivers of Babylon, they hung their harps in the midst of the river. And those who had taken them away captive, the Babylonians, required them of them a song. And they hung their harps there up on the willows. And then they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Ah, how sweet to see men that are saved. Men that know Christ. And they're in the place where everything was wrong. And what are they doing? They're singing the songs of Him. Ah, sweet to the soul. Friend, is the song of heaven in your heart tonight? When you think about the Lord Jesus, and when you think about Calvary, when you think about leaving the world, friend, and going out, is there a song in your heart tonight? Does it stir in the fibers of your being tonight? In your inmost being, praise to the One who came to Calvary's cross for me, to die on the accursed tree, who bowed His lowly head in death, that He might pick away our sins, and that He might save sinners from hell and from the lake of fire. Friend tonight, what's your soul? But I think of these men in the prison, and these prisoners as they are singing praises unto God at midnight, my the hour. There are these men in the prison, they're listening to them. All the ears, my friend, how important they are. God put ears on our heads to hear with. God has given us ears to hear the Word of God and to know what God wants us to know about His Son and to know about heaven and how to escape from hell and to be sure of heaven. Friend, tonight, here is the message from God for these men. I hear them and I see them in the prison listening to what these men are praising God about. And you think of it tonight. My, I can tell you, there's a song that rises in the midst of the darkness. And somewhere, my friend, on the other side of earth tonight, in the midst of the sunshine, there are souls and they're thanking God for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're thanking God as they hear the gospel for the first time of how the Lord Jesus came into this world. He came, my friend, willingly from the sight of His Father, coming down from the glories and splendors of the Father's side into the world, my friend, that was full of sin and woe. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here are these men that were round about them sinners and listening to the praises that the men sang. Ah, there was something happened. Oh, my friend, there was something happened to Mr. McCullough. and I think you heard it. Do you know what happened to him? There came at a point in his life where it just all of a sudden, it began to grip his heart and soul, and he told you this, about his sins and about being saved, knowing Christ. My, when I think of that tonight, it always happens the same to every individual. At some point in their lifetime, that becomes the most important matter to an individual. I need to be saved. I've got to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Mine. The prisoners are listening. I wonder what they thought. You know, friends, you never know what people are thinking. People can't read people's minds. Although I think sometimes my wife can almost read mine. She knows me pretty well. But friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, when you look at me and I look at you, I have no idea what you're thinking. But you know something? While these men listen, and they listen to what Paul and Silas were praising God about, suddenly, I'll tell you, my friends, just as quickly as it could possibly happen, there was an earthquake. I want you to think tonight, my beloved friends, of all the people that were listening to the Paul and Silas singing praises unto God. How many of them do you think that night were saved? You know what I learned from this? There are strangers, and we've seen this. There are strangers come to hear the gospel. And sitting in the same meetings, there are children raised in Christian homes. And they've known the gospel from the earliest days of their youth. You know what I hear, learn? And I've seen it so well that a stranger walks into gospel meetings and is saved very quickly. And the children who have known the truth for years pass on. Well, they hear the very same thing. That's very searching. It's very soft. These men are all listening to them, and God suddenly begins to work. Friend, tonight, God's at work. God is working in this gospel meeting. I have no doubt about that. He said, the Lord himself said, John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what would he do? He would convict the world of sin. And every time the gospel is preached, the Spirit of God is striving with souls, seeking to show them that they're sinners in the sight of God, to reveal to them their lost estate, their need of the Savior. But as much, my friend, the Spirit of God delights to reveal Christ to the soul, to open up the work of Christ to a soul. My friend, this is what happened here. This is the greatest day in this man's life. He'll never get better. He'll never, my friend, attain to anything more to be right with God and to be in heaven than what happens on this occasion. Friend, tonight he's saved for eternity in a moment of time. But when all of this is going on, he was sleeping. Ah, the sleep of the sinner. My, how can it be that in this world tonight there are just vast multitudes of people, and they're just as far as being saved and going to heaven, knowing that they've sinned in the sight of God and that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're sleeping to it all. Not knowing and unaware that sins are going to take people to hell. That people cannot go to heaven unless their sins are forgiven. Friend, tonight, if God would forgive your sins, and he would for Jesus Christ's sake, in this gospel day, you could be saved and be sure of heaven because it's your sins that are keeping you out. But tonight, my friend, while this was all unveiling itself in the prison, this man was sleeping. Well, says the hymn writer, awake, careless sinner, God bids thee awake. Why rush madly on to the fierce burning light? 'Tis folly to trifle the moments away, then awake. Oh, awake and be saved while you may. I would tell you tonight, my beloved friends, that this was this man's time. He didn't know it. But now God is going to move and suddenly there's an earthquake. A quake, my friend, that shook the foundations of the prison. And my, tonight in this gospel meeting, maybe you've come along and you've never heard the gospel in your lifetime. But suddenly God is speaking and suddenly there may be a move in your soul and you're awakened. Like this man was. But I want you to think that suddenly, my friends, I think of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friends, tonight, Jesus Christ is first, but those who trifle with his grace and his love may lose their opportunity, and they may be left behind, they may be losing their soul for the endless ages of eternity. Suddenly the earthquake came, and suddenly souls are awakened. My friend and I, it would be a mercy if you ever found out, even in this gospel meeting, that the way you are in this meeting tonight, if you've never got to know Christ in your lifetime as your Lord and Savior, that you're right now not going to heaven at all. Not on the grounds of good works. God doesn't save on the doing plan. He saves on the plan of what's done, the work of His Son at Calvary. God doesn't save souls because of what they do. He doesn't save them because of their baptism. He doesn't save them because of their church membership. He doesn't save them, my friend, because of the ordinances that they keep. He doesn't save them because of good intentions. He doesn't save them, my friend, because they're casting themselves on the mercy of God. God saves sinners because they trust His Son as their Savior. Listen, friend, while all this is unveiling, this man was sound asleep. What about you? What about every one of us tonight? Are we awake? I think of the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14, I apply. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And away, as the message is preached, as this man is suddenly awakened by God, there's a stir in the man's heart. But I want you to see something. You would think if that the foundations of the prison were shaken that badly so that everyone's doors to their cell and so on, they were all open. And they all got out. Every one of them. You would have thought the prison would have been destroyed, wouldn't you? Listen, friend. Don't worry if God's revealing to your soul through His Word tonight. Don't worry, my friend, about the fact that it's going to be the utter ruin of you because you find out that you're a sinner. I want to say that God shows that to people for blessing them, to bring them to Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to find out that you're not saved and you're not going to heaven. Because the only reason God wants people to find that out is so they'll get to Christ and be saved. I think tonight of this man, awakened, he springs out. There's a stir in his heart. Friend, tonight, is there a stir in yours? Is there a little voice in your soul tonight, as it were, saying, I need to get this settled. I need to know that this Savior that these men are speaking about. I tell you, this man called for light. Ah, light. Light in the darkness, my friend, light. Thank God for it. Light that comes, my friend, when a soul is in the dark. Light, my friend, from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me should never again walk in darkness. Light, my friend, for the soul. Light, my friend, to show the way. Calvary, the place of light. But I want you to think as well, he sprang in before man. Where he came from. I can tell you that the human soul, when the realities of these matters come to them, it's not only an awakening that takes place, but I can tell you there's a fear of God in the soul. There's a fear of God in the soul. The God against whom you have sinned and I have sinned, the same God that created this world through Jesus Christ is the God with whom we have to do. To sin against God is to wrong your own soul. And this man comes in trembling. And he falls down before those two men. He says, "Sirs, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, the supplication of a sinner. Oh, my friend, didn't Mr. McCullough tell you of the days when men and women were falling down and crying out to God for mercy? If I could only know Christ in their souls, longing. Listen, friend, here it is tonight. Sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? It is heaven's, it is the earth's most important question," one has said. "And with it comes heaven's most important answer. Tonight, my friend, is this the language of your heart? Is this what you'd really like to have? Oh, that it might stir in your soul. And that tonight, as this meeting comes to a close, with all your heart's desire set upon, I want to be saved. I would like to be saved. We can give to you the assurance of heaven." I want you to see that when these men said unto him, they said together all at once, because they knew what this man needed. I skip over the fact that he had the sword, he was going to kill himself, but friend, don't do yourself no harm. And I get from that, please don't go away from the gospel. I'm not too proud to beg you, friend. If you're not saved in this gospel meeting, I would beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I would beg you, please, please, don't go away from the gospel. Don't go away from the Lord. Don't cling to other things that will only lead you outside the mercy of God forever. But my friend, tonight, with an empty hand, as it were, take the Savior of sinners, take Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There came an answer, my friend, echoing from the courts of heaven. That's the verse I was saved through. It means a lot to me. There was an answer that came from them. It was simple. For the very simplest thing in the world to do, my friend, is to take in what God has to say, to trust what God has said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just believe. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, you either believe on Him and you're saved, or you don't believe at all. That's the way the Bible puts it. And I want you to see tonight, it not only was it simple, but I want you to see tonight it was sure. It was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt. It's not you might be. It's not that it might come to pass in the end. Friend, thou shalt. Those two words are what gave this person who's standing before you tonight, a sinner who never deserved to be saved, the assurance of God's salvation. And thou shalt be saved. I want you to see not only was it simple, not only was it sure, but it was a word about the Savior. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, look, there was a message that was spoken about this man. That God, who Peter said to them on that day, to men who resisted the strivings against him, as we preached about Christ and what God had intended for blessing for them through His death, His burial and His resurrection. And at verse 37, he says, "Be it known unto you that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. I can tell you tonight, friends, we are preaching to you in this gospel meeting the Lord, the sovereign Lord, not a God, but the God. The only true God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, John 17 and verse 3. We preach to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Why Jesus? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Matthew 1 verse 21. For he shall save his people from their sins. Friend, if there's any doubt lingers in your soul tonight, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. The chosen of God. This is the one that God chose. This is the one whom the Father sent, sanctified and sent into the world. This is the one who died on Calvary. The chosen of God. And the hand of God in the darkness of Calvary smote his Son. the chosen of God. He was smitten and he was afflicted. He was bruised. He was wounded. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered more than I could ever tell you. Crowned with thorns upon the tree, silent in thine agony, dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath and curse of God. I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus, my friends, came from heaven to save sinners. Here's the one that we would set to you tonight, would preach to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take in the truth that God just conveyed about him. This is the one who once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you want to go to heaven for him? Would you like to be saved? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, he could say, but by me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ you need. But I want you to see that was satisfied. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And this man took these men in that same hour of the night, saved by the grace of God, by getting to know Christ as a Savior. He was ready to obey the Lord in baptism as a child of God. He took them into his house, these two men. He washed their stripes. He'd have never done that if he hadn't gotten saved. What a change in the man. I can tell you tonight, salvation changes people for good. If you think that getting saved will ruin your life, I can tell you, my friend, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of people in this city. Some many sitting right in this hall tonight can attest to the fact that if you ever get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the greatest of blessings. He'll enrich your life, my friend, as you do His will. And my friend, you'll never, I have yet to meet in over 17 years, one person who has ever gotten saved that regretted it. And I never will. My friend, this is the one. Would you be saved? What must I do to be saved? Friends, the answer from God is this tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God bless His word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we ask of Thee through Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessing of God may descend from heaven to thirsty souls who would desire to be saved. Oh, the most important thing in life, that it might come to the soul real tonight, and that dear ones not saved in this meeting may face the issues of eternity and face their deep need of Him. Oh, bless Thy word, the testimony of our brother. Preserve him now as he travels upon the highway and the flight in the plane to Chicago. O God, we ask of Thee mercies for our brother as he goes. And now as we're about to part from this hall, we pray Thy blessing upon every person who's come. May God bless everyone. And may we hear of souls being saved, we pray of Thee, commending ourselves to Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hymn number 154, please. 154, whoever receiveth the crucified one, whoever believeth on God's only Son, a free and a perfect salvation shall have, for he is abundantly able to save. We'll sing the first verse and the third verse with the chorus. Thank you very, very much for being here. And as for we sing, the meeting is over.